It never grows old hearing a testimony about who Jesus is, and if you aren't a member yet, you'll get a chance to sign up for that, and it starts in October. But what we do in our membership class is we actually go over the fivefold gospel. Jesus is Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and soon coming King. We take 5 weeks, and each week we do one of those. And what we do on that class is we go around, and instead of having big, long Bible lessons, we, you know, cover the basic of the scripture, and then we have every person in the membership class share whatever they want, or if they don't want any, for all those who are just can't speak, you know, it's like, we have them share who Jesus is to them. And so one week we talk about Jesus as Savior. How is Jesus Savior to you? And they share a story. And the next week, probably one of my favorite weeks, is Jesus as Healer. Because everybody's got this miraculous story of Jesus healing them in some way. And you would never know it just seeing them on an everyday basis. You would never know the miracle Jesus has done in their life. And we go through that class because in the end, the reason we are in church and the reason we are Christians is because Jesus is our salvation. And he's all these things to us. And, you know, it's really important that we know that. But it's also really important that the world around us knows that. You know, Jesus gave us, with his final words in the Gospel of Matthew, he gave us a commission to go into the world and to make disciples. And he said, as he was kind of in their home territory, he says, what you're doing in your home, where I'm bringing you back to Galilee, your home, I want you to not just live for your home and for the blessing of those around you, but I want you to have a passion for the world. And so today we're going to look at a scripture, Matthew 16, verse 13. And in that scripture, Jesus is at the peak of his popularity and his power among the people. He's just finished his second miraculous multiplication of food, and he's at the height of his popularity, and the people want to make him king. But as we're going to read in this passage, Jesus pulls his disciples away because he wants to ask them a very specific question that's going to have to do with everything about his mission going to the cross. Matthew 16 is kind of the hinge point of the gospel, where it goes from Jesus just going around and kind of miraculously touching everyone and being just drawing crowds to now he's going to go to Jerusalem to do one thing, and that is give his life for the salvation of the world. So here are these. The scripture in Matthew 16, 13 through 15. And why don't you read what's in bold out loud as I read the rest. So when it comes to the bold, just kind of jump on in, and we got one more slide. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, Jesus asked? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, on this rock I will build my church. Don't do the parentheses, by the way, when it comes up. Build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus has drawn a crowd. He's got people following him and wanting to know him. And up to this point, the disciples are pretty much just rock stars. They're rock stars on tour with the most famous person in Israel, who's awesome. The crowds love Jesus and they want to make him king. The Pharisees hate Jesus and they just can never win against him. The disciples, in a certain way, are kind of living the good life because with Jesus, they're undefeated. No one ever beats him. And so when they're with Jesus, they're always winning. They win against demons, they win against Pharisees, they win against sickness, they win against hunger. And at the height of Jesus' popularity, at the height of his power, Jesus takes them to Caesarea Philippi, and he kind of pulls them out of the everyday, which we'll see in a second, and he asks them a question. And he asks them a question because at this point, they're going to have to get over their rock star complex and that everything they're doing to follow Jesus is about themselves. And they're going to have to get to the point where they're going to have to understand there's a mission to accomplish. And so Jesus pulls them into this story, and he asks them a question. He says, "Who do the people around you say that I am?" It's the first question he asked the disciples in this moment of mission. Who do the people around you say that I am? Because you know, Peter, James, and John, am I just a free meal to them? Am I free health care when nobody else can heal them? Am I a way for the poor to stick it to the rich? Am I a way for religious people to prove to other people that they're right? Hey, Andrew and Judas, who do the people around you say that I am? Because you know what? Their souls and their eternities and the life of their family, it depends on that answer. Hey, disciples, do you know what the people around you think of me? Hey, Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas, do you know that answer? And if you know the answer, then after that, do you know who I am in such a way that you can tell them who I am if they've got questions? And so Jesus, who at this point is about to go from just popular rock star to one who becomes the ultimate one rejected and crucified, Jesus asks this question to the disciples, because he wants them to get away from just the miracles and just what's working for them and just all the crowds around them who all celebrate Jesus, say, hey, disciples, what do all the people around you think? Not just the ones that you're hearing are just thrilled about the moments that I do the big, big stuff. And if you look a little more closely at this passage in Matthew 16, you'll notice, it should be 16, not 13 to begin with, it's not only what Jesus is asking, but it's where Jesus is asking it that's so important for the disciples to get on mission. You see, the scripture says that they were in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi is 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. That Sea of Galilee is Jesus' wheelhouse. I mean, that's where he owns it. That's where everybody knows what he's done. Everybody's coming to see him. Everybody wants to be near him. But he pulls the disciples away from that, and he takes them 25 miles north, and that's a tough walk. It's right at the foot of Mount Hermon. It's Upper Galilee, and it's pretty much almost an entirely pagan city, although it's still technically in Israel. And really, as we're going to find out in a moment, this city in classic ancient civilization was known as a center for cult worship. Because it's important to know that Jesus just doesn't ask the disciples, do you know who the people around you are saying about? Do you know what they think about me? But you know what? You got to know where he's asking the disciples, because where he's asking them is here. Jesus is asking them in the place called Panias in Caesarea Philippi. It is the center of cult worship, and ironically, that arrow up there is known as the gates of Hades to all of classic civilization. It's known as the gates of hell. You see, as this one book that I quoted from, at the time of Jesus, the Temple of Pan stood imposingly over the entrance to the cave known as the Gates of Hades. It was believed to be the entrance to the underworld and where the gods came out to wreak havoc on man. At the front of that cave was an open altar perched at the brink of the abyss below, because no one could find the bottom of that cave. And there, pagan worshipers would offer sacrifices of all kinds. There are three temples in this complex. You can't see the third. One to Caesar and to Pan, one to Zeus, and one to the gods of what they would literally call the goat dancers when it comes to the issue of Pan in that religion. Jesus is here when he asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? And you've got to get the context of the question, and you and I have to ask ourselves, why does Jesus ask the question there? Why there? Why not in the one synagogue? I mean, I'm sure in Caesarea Philippi, there were some synagogues still around. And I'm sure at least you could go out to an open field where they wouldn't have to see, because when I said sacrifices of all kinds, yeah, there were sacrifices of all kinds going on there. That was not a holy, sacred, to the Lord place. That was a place where the disciples would see some pretty disturbing things, some places where they'd probably even get a little angry about what the people thought eternal life and spiritual life was about. It was a place that wasn't easy to be in, and yet Jesus asked the disciples there, who does everybody think I am? And Jesus chooses there because the disciples have to stay on mission with him. They've got to remember, it's not the hometown crowd that this is all about. Do you notice the answers the disciples gave? What answers did they give? They all gave Jewish Old Testament answers to the question of who did the Son of Man say I am? And Jesus is sticking them in the middle of a pagan worship moment, in the middle of a place that doesn't honor him, know him, or care about him, and saying, what about these people? What do they think about me? Because it matters that they think something about me. What do they think? Jesus asked this question there because he wants his disciples to get used to asking that same question in those kind of places. You and I have to be concerned with the places like that to wonder, I wonder if anybody here knows who Jesus is. Amen. Someone knows. Hallelujah. Speak it out, sister. Speak it out. You know, tradition, and this is just biblical tradition, no one can ever totally say right or wrong, but there's a strong biblical scholarship tradition that says it's on top of that mountain, because the cave is at the bottom of the mountain. It's at the top of that mountain that Jesus is transfigured. And it's like Jesus saying to all the gods of all the people in all this world that Satan's using, saying, not impressed. Not impressed. Because he turns to the disciples and he says, by the way, you know who I am? I'm the Christ. I'm the King of heaven, the anointed one. Come down. And you know what, disciples? The gates of Hades, right there, not prevailing against the church. Not prevailing against who I am. Because let me remind you who I am. You see, when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, and the people stop to see and think about how I gave my life for him, when he says lifted up, he's referring to being crucified. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. If someone will stop and see who I am on that cross and what that cross means, if they will begin to consider the love and the power that I displayed, I'll do the job of lifting them up. And all the pagan worship and all the gates of hell and all the belief of this world and all the evil that they think, it won't prevail against them. You see, disciples, you are the light of the world. A city, a gathering of homes, shining my light. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It cannot be hidden. Now I want you to notice, in the first verse, he talks about the world and just the church as a city. But then look at what he says next. Neither does a person inside their home light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So let your light shine before men. Jesus is talking about the light going to the world, but he's got to keep it connected to the light happening in your house. And so that is why we just finished this sermon series on Great Commission Homes. Because it's not possible to shine the light out in the world if the light's not shining in our house. See, how it works is this. I don't keep the light hidden in my house but I make sure it's on a what? What's the word he used? It's on a stand. It's elevated. It's put in a spot that the family or those in the home can focus on. And if the light is put up in the stand in the home, well, that home is just going to naturally shine light out its windows and doors. And if a lot of homes shine the light out the windows and doors because in their home the light's on a stand, then the world around them that's in darkness will see them and know where to go. And so when we were doing Great Commission Homes, and if you weren't with us, I really want to encourage you to get on the website and go through those four series. What we're saying is, when I bring the people of my home, whether I'm married, whether I'm single, whether I'm in college, whether I'm an empty nester, whatever stage of life is, when I take the light of Jesus and I put it on a stand in my home, I say, let's learn to have a moment of practical worship and let's remember who the light of the world is. When I gather my people in my home and I have a moment of biblical encouragement, when we remember the truth about the scripture, that's Jesus on a stand. When we talk about how we as a home are part of a world needing to know who Jesus is, the witness, and when we come together and we intercede together and we pray simple prayers out of the scripture, it says, Lord, help all the kids in my class. Have you prayed with your kids yet about who's in their class and that your kid's there? Have you in your workplace prayed for the people in your workplace or the people on your... When I take the light of Jesus and I put it on a stand in my house, it automatically becomes possible that the church can become a city on a hill. But sometimes what we're guilty of as church is we don't talk about home and we don't talk about it there, but we want the light to shine every place else. And we think that the church, the physical building, is the light, is the house that it's coming from. And it's not. It's my home and yours. No matter what life stage you're in, it's where you live and it's where I live. And when the light's on the stand in my house, people around me are going to get to see it when darkness comes. And guess what? Darkness comes. You don't got to worry about showing it. It's showing up. It's the world we live in. And so we've gone from Great Commission Homes now to this call of Jesus is. You're going to be seeing this a lot. And I hope that you're going to be seeing it not in the church, but all throughout the community. Because what we want to do is we want to be faithful to the question Jesus asked his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, who is Jesus? So this banner right here, this banner is going to be above Route 10 in Chester, you know, right there near kind of the gazebo there and Sibley's barbecue over there. So you know that where they put this banner is going to be above that road in October, asking everybody who drives by, so who do you think Jesus is? Yeah, right here. And they're going to have notice because they're going to drive by this and then they're going to see your wristband one day at work and like, and then one day you're actually wearing this shirt going shopping. And you can get that shirt, by the way, I mean, I'm sorry we even had to charge you for it. It's $5. I mean, we're not making any money off the deal. We're just trying to organize you guys. You can buy a shirt because we want to see it and 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 finally go, yeah, who is Jesus? So the whole idea revolves around this. We made a website called jesus-is.ag. Now, there's, for those of you who are kind of familiar with church culture, there's a guy, Judas Smith in Seattle, who did this, and we just took the idea, we're like, we love this idea, let's do this, because we love the idea of asking people, who do you think Jesus is, but not in a confrontational way. We just want to know your answer. So what you get to do with the shirt and the wristband and win this, and I've got up here, Caleb, can you bring me those, yeah, those right there. We're going to be giving these out at Chesterfest. This banner is going up in Chesterfest, by the way. And people are going to get to do what you did outside. Thanks, Caleb. People are going to get to do what you did outside here. They're going to get to put up a board and write their answer for Jesus is, and there's going to be a photo booth and everything there. And then what you can do is you can take some of these today And you can put them in the dashboard of your car. So when you're parked someplace, after you've driven the way you've driven, nobody's, you know, we're done with that part. But when you're parked, you just have this. I was walking out of the YMCA on Friday morning. I noticed somebody, a little church bulletin, someone's dashboard. I thought, how cool is that? Just, you can put one of these, or you could put it in a window at work or at home. And basically it just says, Jesus is, what's your answer? And then it gives you the website. And then on the back, it just talks about, it just says this. It says, do you believe that Jesus, it says, who is Jesus to you? Do you believe he is truly God or just a myth? Have you seen people do good or bad in his name? Do you believe he is alive right now or just a historical person? Do you believe churches represent who he is or that people only use him to manipulate others for their own gain? What do you believe? Your answer and the reason for your answer are important. And then what we do is we say, hey, there's a church that'll fit you. We'll help you find the church that works for you. We let them know who we are, but we're like, just find a church, a Bible-believing church, and find out who Jesus is. And you could take one of these at the end of today. They're just going to be up here. You just pop one someplace. Because what we want to do is we want to begin a conversation with our community. Because God hasn't given us a building and great worship leaders and great families so that we spend it on ourselves. Jesus is asking us, who do people say I am? Now, according to Jesus' model, he doesn't need to see nice Christian frilly answers. So that means on this website, you might see some answers you don't like. Now, we're not going to let anything obscene or offensive be on there. There's a way to filter it. But here's a picture of the website. Let's see if I get to it. There we go. This is currently on now. It's not live right now, but this website, it updates every 6 seconds. You can go on your cell phone, and you can put in an answer to who Jesus is. So we've got, Jesus is my homeboy right now. Praise the Lord. We got Jesus is love. Jesus is black. He's my amigo. He's pop. He's dear. We have a whole bunch of answers up there. And some of them you're not going to like. Well, welcome to not being in the church all the time. Because it's got to start with what they think. And of course, some people are just going to be troublemakers and do what they do. It's all right. They're thinking about Jesus. We'll work from there. Right? So you got to recognize that with this. This is not just a blatantly Christian website. I mean, if you scroll down in here, we have video testimonies like the ones you saw today of people saying, hey, let me tell you who Jesus is. A matter of fact, you're going to get a chance to put one up on your social media at some point. Who is Jesus to you? How are you going to use social media to touch other people's lives? So as you do this, we're going to say, as we're serving as Great Commission homes, we want discipleship in our house, and we want it in our community. So you get a wristband, and feel free to grab a few more if you want. I'm sure we only have a limited amount, so make sure you're going to use them if you take them. T-shirts, you can get one in the back at the end of service for $5. The banners going over Route 10. Every month, we're going to give you a social media idea for your Facebook page or whatever social media. We're going to give you an idea about how you can use Jesus is. And we're also, once every month, we're going to give you an idea of something to do to just bless people in a way that would reflect Jesus. Our commitment this year is not to make you busier. Our commitment this year is to make you better. We're not interested in you in being busier disciples, but we are interested in you in being a better disciple. And the way you're a better disciple is you do it at home. You live it at home. You make sure the light of Christ is on a stand. Now, all my veteran Christian people, all right, that counts you too. Just because you're all spiritual and stuff for lots of years doesn't mean you don't need to do a better job putting Jesus as a light on a stand in your home. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah, all right? Because it's all of us. It's not just parents with young kids. But we all got to do a little better job there. All right, Sarah and I got to do. We kind of got our butt kicked a few times schedule-wise the last few weeks. We're like, man, we got to get this better. We're not doing as good a job as we need to do. But what we want to do is we'll be a better disciple if we live it out at home. And then if we do things that are like dominoes, doing what? Lining up together. Because I don't need to knock down the Empire State Building all by myself. All I got to do is get in line and let the movement of God among his people do the rest. Amen? So that's what we're asking you to do. There we go. Now, Jesus didn't just want the disciples to have an answer for everybody else. Jesus wanted the disciples to know the answer. So what we're going to do at church is we're going to take the fivefold gospel, Jesus is Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, Baptizer, Holy Spirit, and soon coming King, and each month we're going to say who Jesus is. So in the month of October, we're going to do Jesus is Savior. And we're going to spend 4 weeks on that. And what we're going to do is we're going to do it like you would do it in your home. So we're going to, the first week, we're going to kind of talk about Jesus as Savior and why that leads us to worship. And then, week number two, we're going to talk about Jesus as Savior. And we're going to look a little bit more on what does that really mean that he's the Savior of the world, not just of my individual life. We're going to, in the next week, talk about how does that lead to a witness. And the last week, we're going to talk about how do we intercede for the world around us. So what we're going to be doing as a church is we're going to be trying to give you a rhythm and encourage the rhythm that you're living out in your house. So you'll always have plenty of material. You'll never have to worry about it. I don't know what we're going to do this week. Because once we ask the world, we've got to know. And so we're going to go over that. I want to encourage you, too, the Wednesday night classes we have chosen, the Tim Keller one that's on apologetics, the intercession one, the one for your marriage. Man, those are important moments to say, I want to make sure I know who Jesus is so I can talk to the world around me. None of us in this room are expert debaters or speakers, but all of us can just in a simple way know what God's called us to. So as we do that, we're just going to take the natural rhythm of worship, encouragement, and we get to week three of witness in our home. The Jesus's campaign's given us something to do as a family. Now, you can do something else if you want, but it sure would be nice if you'd line up your domino with everybody else's domino so we can knock down something a little bigger than just our own individual stuff. But what happens is we're not asking you to do something new. We're just saying, hey, you're doing this in your home anyway. Use this idea. And so whether it's inviting someone to have a meal or giving someone a meal, whether it's in December when we give out Bibles as Christmas presents to those who are praying for, I mean, there's going to be a lot of cool ideas we're going to give you a chance to do. But I want you to notice back to the passage that Jesus says it was his church that the gates of hell would not overcome. You know, we live in a very individualistic society. We live in a society where tons of people choose church based on consumerism than conviction. You know, there's a lot of times it's like, hey, I'm cool with church when I can go. And like, we're not saying be crazy busy, but we're saying build a rhythm in your life that has unity in the church, because Jesus said it was the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. You are part of the church, but you're not all the church. When we get together as a church, God begins to knock down walls. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to really pray about this issue, about joining together. Because you know what? And it's so hard. There's this disease out there among church people. It's called churchitis. All right, and what happens in churchitis is the pastor preaches a message, and you go, yeah, that's really great for everybody else. And the pastor asks you to pray, and you think, yeah, I sure hope a lot of other people are going to pray about that. And the pastor says, let's all witness. And you say, yeah, I hope a lot of other people in my church witness. See, that's churchitis. That's where you've taken church and you've just kind of made it about not receiving anymore, but just kind of doing your thing. And man, grace is there, and we just, however it works, it works. But we want to be a church that says, you know, if we line up, God, If the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we all with one voice glorify our God and Father of Jesus Christ, if we do that together, Lord, if we are a group of homes that together shine your light, then we're like a city on a hill for all the community when darkness comes. But we got to do it together. So you got to right now do a little of this and check your churchitis. Just see. Sometimes it shows up as a rash on your left arm. Just check your left arm right now. All right? Just check it. Because if you're thinking, boy, that's great, other people are going to do that, then you've got it. Because in the end, heaven singing this amazing song, playing this amazing song, heaven has this amazing song that is playing, talking about joy and peace, but the world you and I live in, man, no one's hearing it. They're too busy. They're really busy. But you know what? If each one of us would start to say, God, you know, I've got these talents and I got these gifts. Lord, I could do that. And we all decide to do them in a way that make people stop and hear. Then instead of one person shouting in the middle of the crowd, hey, pay attention to Jesus, maybe people would just begin to stop because of what they would begin to see and hear.
Thank you.
We live in such a noisy world. We live in a very busy world. I don't know about you, but my heart almost explodes when I think of moments when the song of heaven stops people and they begin to say, wow. When people come together and give of themselves in such a way that even in the busyness of the marketplace and the town square, in the middle of everything that we got to do, people aren't demanded to stop. They just choose to stop. Because there's something worth seeing. There's something that's calling out to them. There's something that reminds them that there is a song that they care about. And there is something for their kids to know. And there is something that they can lean on again. There are words that they've forgotten that are there. And there are words they've never heard but seem to be drawing them. You and I have sometimes forgotten in this little individual world that sucks the life out of us. Sometimes we're so busy just trying to survive. But the only prayers we pray are about ourselves, and the only thing we think about Jesus is for ourselves. That Jesus wants us to stop and say, hey, by the way, who does everybody else say I am? And are you willing to come together to help people hear something louder than what's on the news? And all the political friction and all the complaining about this and that, can you help, can you come together and help them hear something beautiful? So we're not just going to talk about it. You know, when our kids go to school, they've got assignments and grades, and so we've been praying about a little bit of a goal. You know, in this room, you know, maybe we have anywhere, I don't know, between 500 and 600 people. And we're saying that in the school year, and we want to celebrate this on Anniversary Sunday, the first Sunday of May, we want to say, Lord, would you use us as a church family to touch at least 7,000 people with Jesus is? And so, whether their visits on the website, or whether they're a card that you handed out, and then you put a little hashtag up about it, that you've done it, or notify us on Facebook, we literally want to see, Lord, would you let us touch 7,000 lives with a solid question, who do you think Jesus is? And in that time, we're praying for 700 visitors, probably Cornerstone in an average year, maybe about 400 or 500 visitors. So we're saying in the course of 6 months, we're believing for 700. But we're not just saying they've got to come to the church. They're saying maybe they come to your home. Maybe they visit your house. Maybe they visit you during lunchtime. We don't care where it happens because it's not about our physical church, but it is about 700 people asking a little deeper, wait a minute, I want to think, I got a question. I want to have actually a conversation about who Jesus is. I want to hear more. And then we're asking for at least 170 Great Commission. I don't even know if we have 170 homes in our church. I assume we do. 170 homes that would say this year, we're going to be a Great Commission home. And if you make that decision today, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is up front here, we'll figure it out, there's a magnet that says we are a Great Commission home. I'm going to ask you to take one of these and make sure it's on the fridge someplace. And just a little reminder, that's what we're about. We're about making sure his light is on the stand. 170 homes. Saying we may not be perfect at this, but we're going to try. We're going to try to be a Great Commission home. And then we're asking for 70 new disciples by May. Not attenders, not deciders, not decisions. 70 disciples, because that's what Jesus told us to do. Go make disciples. 70 new disciples looks like about 7 new Christians in every life group by May. Not just people who show up, not 7 new attenders. 7 new disciples, people who've come to Christ and are growing. It looks like maybe 4 in every adult life group and 3 in every children's group. But what we're saying is, Lord, we'd like to be fruitful servants for you. You said, go make disciples, and we'd like to fulfill that. We'd like the honor of doing the job. And so we're asking you to pray with us at Cornerstone, whether they stay at Cornerstone, they go someplace else, that we would be, the Lord would use us, that at least 70 new disciples by May. Because when Peter was seeing Jesus on the water and couldn't believe it was him, Peter said, "Is it okay if I ask for a goal? Can I say, hey, if it's you, can I go walk out there?" And Jesus didn't say, no, Peter, it's not about seeing, it's not about, you're a little dramatic right now. Jesus said, sure, I honor that goal. You want to know it's me? Come on out and see that goal fulfilled. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to say, Lord, if that's you, if you are who you say you are, Lord, if you want to use us in Chester and Chesterfield and wherever we live, then Lord, if it's you, let us accomplish this. So I'm going to ask you to consider that today. I'm going to ask you to do it a few different ways. I'm going to ask you to avoid all churchitis and mark down and make a decision, hey, we're going to be a Great Commission home. We're going to be a Great Commission home. We're going to ask some of you, as you see on your sheet there, your green sheet, and you come up and grab one of these. Hey, I'll be part of the social media campaign. Just let me know. Make sure you got my email, and that's where Pastor Sandy was telling you, man. Can everybody sign out that connection card today? Make sure we've got everybody's right information so we can spread those things out. And then, as a church family, as you're a Great Commission home, will you just say, Lord, just use us. When we do the monthly touch, see how it works for you. When we do the monthly social media. But we want our community, and let's be honest, okay? When we do this, there are going to be some people that when they drive by this, this is going to make them angry. They're not going to be happy with this. And we've got to decide as a church, are we a place to say, look, we're not trying to offend, and we're not trying to be manipulative, but Jesus is alive, and it doesn't matter if you know him. And so it may cost us a few moments. You know, I'm pretty involved in our county, and there might be a few places where it's like, yeah, we don't want you around so much anymore. Of course, we're going to do it with grace and thoughtfulness, but our job is not to please people, but our job is to love people. And so why has God given us the church he's given us with all the great people in it and all the resources if we're not going to use it to make disciples? So that's what we're going to do. You know, to applause or other type of responses, that's what we want to be. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And I'm going to ask you to take a moment to stand with me if you would. Do we have these magnets? Do we know where these magnets are? And where are they? They're up here already? Or they will be up here? Okay. Can we have the people who are going to bring them out? So the deacons are going to come out with the magnets. And there also is, we're asking everybody to take a bookmark. It says Jesus is in our homes, and it talks about being a Great Commission home. And then on the other side, it actually has the social media action and the touch for the month. And we'll explain them as we go, but this way you can start to pray for them together. So as we take a moment to pray, I'm going to ask if a few deacons could grab these too. Make this a part. We don't have enough for everybody today, but if you want one, take one. We'll get you more later. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and hear from the Lord. He's given us a mission to go and make disciples. Would you take a moment to bow your head right now and to ask the Lord to use you to bring him glory and honor, that the world around us could hear the song of heaven? Lord, we're here not to just be a hometown crowd to root you on, but we're here to be part of a world that needs you. You've given us a lot. And Lord, we don't want to spend it on ourselves. We want to spend it on you. We want to be part of making disciples. We're not very good at it. We're not very impressive. We're not very powerful. We're not very influential. But we are yours. Because we're yours, we want to live our life to make disciples. Holy Spirit, fill us with a new grace that sometimes causes us to face our fears, and we're not very good at that. Sometimes that feels like legalism. It's not. It's just your invite us past what we're not very good at doing. And help us to welcome in the flow of grace that would take us and pick us up and begin to use us as homes for singles, for married, for parents. As you're praying that prayer, we're going to begin worship. And as we begin worship, we're going to start with that first song, Open Up the Heavens. And then we're going to go to the song that they sang in the video as a kind of a prophetic act. Lord, we hope our community hears, joyful, joyful, we adore you. As you do that, as there is space in the aisle, we're going to ask you to come down and turn in your connection card with your decisions on it. And we're also going to ask you to pick up a bookmark and a magnet if you are making a decision. But I really want to ask you to clearly note on your card, yeah, we're asking the Lord by His grace to be a Great Commission home. We're going to make that decision by His grace. We're going to ask you to make a firm decision. And if you want to pick up some of these, but as you turn that card in and as you take those things, I'm just going to invite you to come back to your seat. And we're going to just take a moment to say the Lord's Prayer and to pray the words that Jesus told us to pray about the harvest. So come now as you are able, and as the crowds and the aisles ebb and flow, come and make your decision for the Lord.